That's the first time I've heard ever heard Marcus's voice alone. And it was good to hear. And what a wonderful quartet, I'm telling you, the beautiful Star of Bethlehem. Aren't you glad that it's shining? Amen. It's still guiding us, the beautiful Star of Bethlehem led us to this place today. I feel good in my soul today. How about you? Hey, something going on down in me at a deeper level than the last time I was with you. You know, the trials of life will do one of two things. They'll drive you away from God, or they will deepen your faith in God. And you find new depths, new places of joy, a new serenity, new quietness. And sometimes when things are going just so well and so wonderful, we lose touch with that deepness of His Spirit within us. Now, January is a very important month. It's the beginning of a new year. And when the Romans, way back there, about 500 years before Christ, they were trying to decide what to call the first month of the year. And so they decided they were going to name the first month January, because they had a god floating around in their myths called Janus. And so this god was a god of new beginnings and old endings, Janus. He had two faces. One always looked to the west, phasing out, and one looking to the east. And there was a temple actually in the Forum in the center of Rome, and a bust in the middle of that temple with this bust of Janus with his face looking to the west and to the east. And if you came into that temple, you had to come in from the west entrance and leaving a year behind. And then you have to leave by the eastern exit to face the future that was out there in front of you. So the whole month of January was about looking at the past and looking at the future. Now, you know, I think that's important. God has given us the ability to look in two directions, at the past and at the future. And this is a time of looking back at the past and looking forward to the future. And we can't separate the past from the present or from the future, by the way. They all hang together. In Dr. Lang's office, there is a beautiful painting, and on that painting there's an inscription that says, "Yesterday is but a memory, and tomorrow is only a dream." And it goes on to say, But today is life. Now, I'm going to submit to you this morning that in order to have life in this present moment and today, we have to be able to know how to look at the past and how to look at the future. Because you can look at the past in such a way that you rob today of its power and its beauty and its strength. Or you can look to the future and fear, and that will take away what God wants to do in our lives in these present moments. One man said, if you live long, you should live your life as if each day of your life would be the last. And because, he said, sooner or later you're going to be right. But ladies and gentlemen, if this day is going to have power and strength and the serenity I've alluded to this morning, we have to be able to look at the past through the eyes of Christ and the future through the reality of Christ. Otherwise, if we don't do that, today is not going to have its power and its strength and its blessing and its beauty. We rob it of all, depending on how we look at the past and how we look at the future. One man said, what lies behind and what lies before are small matters compared to what lies within. It's the within, you see, determines how we look at the past and how we look at the future. And that's where the reality of Jesus Christ comes in, that He can help us to see the past in such a way that there will flow into our lives all the gifts of the past and the lessons of the past. And even the failures of the past will be swallowed up in the forgiveness and the love of God, freeing us to live in the present with a blessing and shaping our souls for the future that God has for us. Jesus said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, and I'm the beginning and the ending." He is our God. He knows the beginning, and He knows the ending. And as we turn to that reality, we begin to see what it's like in the prior years in our lives and in all of history. And we can begin to view into the future based upon his word. Now, I've alluded to the fact that Ann and I received a lot of cards, and I've read every one of them. And most of them have been inscriptions on the inside that are written personally from members of this church to us. But I got one from Doug and Nancy Beckman, and they're here this morning. And I read, Nancy, the inscription inside of that, and thank you very much. But also on the outside of that card were these words: "With God, every day is a day to hope for the very best, to believe our prayers are being heard, to believe the good news is on its way, and that anything can happen between yesterday and tomorrow." Now, here you got a person in the present that's praying in faith and trust in God, the reality of Christ. And between our yesterdays and our tomorrows, miracles can happen today. Thank you, Nancy, for that lovely card and that thought. That as long as we look at the past and the present through the eyes of Christ, miracles can happen today. But if we don't look at it that way, we're going to rob today of all of its beauty that God wants us to have. Now, the Bible is a book it's a book of history. It's a book about the past. And it's also a book prophetically of the future. But profoundly, it's a book of what we can have today, right now in our lives. You don't have to wait for the future. You don't have to live in the past. But right now in the present, we can have the power of God in us. But it is, in fact, a book that invites us to look at the past. The whole book of Deuteronomy is a book of encouraging the Hebrew people to look at their past. Now, they've already been up to the Promised Land one time, and they failed because of their lack of faith and trust in God. They were fearful of the giants. They forgot about everything that God had done already in their lives. But here they come up to the Promised Land again, and here is Moses, the great leader. He's not going to lead them over, but he is giving him his wisdom to prepare them to claim that promise of God. And what does he do? He reminds them that when they're over in the promise of God, when they've claimed it, and they're already in that sacred land, he said, when you're over there and everything's okay, and your barns are full, and your herds of cattle have multiplied, and you don't want for anything, and you're sitting in your home, and everything is okay, as God wants it to be, Moses said to those people, don't forget God. Because if you forget God, who liberated you from slavery and who led you through the wilderness, you're going to vanish over there in the promised land of God. You are going to end up, if you forget God, all those things are going to disappear that God wants you to have. Remember God. Now, Lauren gave my daughter Robin a Christmas present of a watch. And the interesting thing about that watch, it's a beautiful watch, by the way, a thoughtful gift. But on the band of the watch are the Ten Commandments. Now, if I'd gotten that watch, I'd think someone wanted to remind me, grant you, you need to look at the Ten Commandments. But Robin, that's not her case. But here is Moses looking at these people, you know, almost a million of them, said, don't forget God and don't forget the commandments. Because every time Robin looks at that watch, she has to see the commandments. And when we remember God and we remember the commandments, the promises that you're going to have in our present lives, as we remember, the power of the past flows into the present and prepares us for a blessing in this moment and opens the future to us. Don't forget God. Don't forget the commandments. Solzhenitsyn was one of the great writers that came out of Russia, the Cold War. And he spent a great deal of his life in prisons. And when the Cold War ended and he was released, he came to America. And he taught and spoke at Harvard. And he was asked by a student about Russia. The student said, You know, given all that's happened in Russia, all the millions of people that lost their lives, and the demise of the empire now, what went wrong? And Solzhenitsyn merely said, they forgot God. When you forget God, you're going to deprive the present moment. That's in, not only individually, that's true for us as a nation of people. If we forget our past, we're going to rob the present, and we're not going to have the future that God wants us to have as a nation. And it certainly is true individually. Remember God. Jesus said in the upper room, when he broke the bread, he said, you do this in remembrance of me. And what did he want us to remember? He said, this is my body broken for you. And when you remember that it was the Lord's body on that cross that was broken for us, when you remember that, his power of forgiveness and renewal and praise and worship flows into the present. But if you forget who Jesus is and the broken body and hence the resurrection, if you don't remember those things, the power and the present moment is lost. And we're not ready to claim the promise of the future just by forgetting. Remembering is very, very important. Now, this past week, I read an article in the USA Today, and the title of that article was, God, Religion, Atheism, So What? And the whole article was about how that so many of our, especially young people, one of them said at Baylor University that, she said, I never think about God. I don't think about ultimate concerns. I don't think about it. It never crosses my mind. And they said 44% of those students in that particular university really lived as if God didn't exist. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, if we forget God, and we have all these symbols in our culture to remind us of God, if we eliminate them and we don't find ourselves thinking about God, we cut off the power of God from ourselves individually and as a nation. And the future is going to be an awful thing. When the two Emmaus walkers were walking on Easter Sunday afternoon, they were going back to Emmaus where they were from. And they were discouraged. They were despondent. They were carrying on a kind of a negative, destructive dialogue between the two of them. They were dejected. And here, the Alpha and Omega that they didn't recognize, Jesus Christ, comes and starts walking with them. And our Lord didn't reveal, hey, what are you so sad about? And he asked that question. He said, well, we thought Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and he's back in Jerusalem. He's still in the tomb back there. A lot of people live as if Jesus Christ has never come from the tomb. And so our Lord walks along with them in their discouragement. And he doesn't all of a sudden say, open their eyes and say, look, it's me. I'm Jesus Christ. I'm not in the tomb. So he walks with them and he begins to teach them a history lesson. He takes them back to Genesis, to the beginning. That's what an alpha does. He's all about the beginning. He takes them back to the beginning and he takes them all through the prophets where there's prophesied that in the future that the Messiah was going to come and he would suffer. And they thought that was not possible that the Messiah would suffer. And so our Lord takes and he gives them a history lesson. And as he gave them that history lesson, he said, my, our hearts begin to burn within us just by looking at the past through the eyes of Jesus Christ. The power began to break into their own spirits. As I mentioned, they begin to stand up and walk a little more uprightly and a little more with hope and a little more with wait a minute, maybe we need to rethink this thing. Just by our Lord saying, this is what the past history is about. And in remembering that, if you remember that, this is what the future is going to be like. And this is what the present is going to be like. Now, in Philippians that was read to us this morning by Leroy, Moses is a great example of someone dealing with the past and the future and its implications for his life in the present. And he's talking about how he suffered for Christ and the great things accomplished by the grace of God for Christ. And he said, now, wait a minute, Philippians, I want you to remember this, that I don't pretend to being arrived at some lofty spiritual plane yet. I am nowhere near where God wants me to be in my life. But I tell you what I do. I'm pressing on. Now, how in the world is he going to press on? Well, here's what he says. I forget the things that are past. Now, what could he possibly have meant? Here I'm talking about don't forget the past. And he says, I'm forgetting the past. He didn't forget the past. In the Corinthians, he lifted up the same thing Jesus said in the Lord's Supper. He said, what I've received, I give to you. Do this in remembrance of Christ. And he was an expert in Hebrew tradition and religion. And only an apostle Paul, who had that kind of background and that kind of training, as he remembered that, could talk about fitting Christianity into the framework, into a new framework, and bringing the past into that. He didn't mean forgetting that kind of past. But here's what he did mean. He was present when Stephen, the first martyr, was put to death. He was running around everywhere throwing people into prisons, breaking up lives. And he stood there and held the coats of those who were stoning Stephen to death. He saw him die as he praised God. That vision never got away from his soul. But he said, I'm the least of the apostles. When I look back on that, I got every reason to be ashamed and feel guilty about that. But you know what? I don't just remember that. I remember the cross. I don't have to be trapped in my failures, in my sins, and in my shames. I don't have to live back there. I don't have to stay in the past, because the love and the forgiveness of Christ puts that all behind me, and I'm ready then to press on into the future. And the second thing he does is talk about the future. He said, I am going to press on to the mark of the high calling in Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what he did. See, the power of the past and the hope of the future. Next week I'm going to talk about the future. But I want to end with this today. At Boston University School of Theology, there preceded me a doctor of theology by the name of Niels Faray. And I read at least three of his books. He was really an exponent about the love of God and the implications of that in our lives. But he told the story about leaving his home in Germany. And about his family gathered down there on the dock to see him off. And here he was, a young man. He was going to go to America to study in America. And circumstances brought him to that point. He came from a Christian family. And they were all there, his mother and his father and his friends and his kin people, to see him off and to say goodbye. And so he goes into the train, in that little European train. He puts down the window in his little compartment where he was so he could lean out and wave goodbye. And the train began to slowly move out of the station. And his mother, she broke ranks. And she began to walk and to run, jog along the side of that train. And here's his son looking down at his mother. And she was saying goodbye to him. But she looks up at him and she says, Nails, remember Jesus. Remember Jesus. And he said, I have never forgotten Jesus. When we remember Jesus, the past is a blessing. And when we remember Jesus, the future is a hope and a promise. And when we remember like that, we have a great sense of blessing right now in our lives that we don't have to worry about tomorrow. It's just there when we remember like that through the heart and the soul and the mind of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the past. And as we look back in the past, Heavenly Father, from the standpoint right now, and in our lives today, Father, we are challenged in so many ways that sometimes we forget. But when we look back at our own personal past, we can see that you were back there. You were with us at those crossroads, that you didn't abandon us nor forsake us, that you helped us in our mistakes and failures. You were back there with us in that journey. And Heavenly Father, as we remember that, we then can affirm that you're with us now and that you'll be with us in our tomorrows. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, the Alpha and the Omega of our lives. Amen and amen.